Ladies and gentlemen, we have a quorum, so let's convene, please. Joining us for the first time, welcome, Senator Mimua.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I missed you.
Well, I missed you all, too.
All right.
Well,
let's
do.
Okay, review of the agenda. Anybody have any problem with the agenda? Not hearing any, we'll assume that it'll work, and minutes of the March 6th meeting are before you. Have you had a chance to review? Do we need approval? It would be desirable, I suppose.
That would be preferable.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Both in support. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary? If not, minutes are approved. And, Governor, you have suggested we review the materials. These are materials that, for the most part, were requested at various sources at our first meeting and have now been supplied. Trust all of you have had an opportunity to scan, review. Now you're more enlightened. And what further should you do? Ms. Anderson has something she'd like to offer after we dispatch with whatever is involved in reviewing these materials. Anything as a result of reviewing the materials that raises questions, observations? Anderson?
Mr. Chair, I have something I'd just like to hand out. I had asked, it's really in chart form, something I asked, did you get this? I asked the staff to prepare. It's a graph of what's happened since the last essentially raise back in 97. And if you take a look at it, the bottom line is the current agency head limit, which has been essentially the same because it's set at a percent of the governor's salary and it's flat. The dark straight line is the governor's salary, which again is flat. Back in about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the local government, as we all know, local government limit was raised to 110% of the governor's salary, and then it was adjusted with inflation. And so you can see the local government limit is, you know, what's been happening with that. The top line is what the governor's salary would be if it was adjusted with the CPI. So, you know, the problem we have clearly before us, and this is, we all have to struggle with the fact this is a horrible year to be making salary increase recommendations, and maybe that's something we want to deal with as a separate thing, the timing and so on. But you have just flat wages for state folks in the state that will continue to be flat under the current structure unless there's either a change in how we index those sort of things or a change in what in the actual governor's salary since everything is set with that. But I think this puts it in very stark form. Frankly, I'm concerned. I served as a Dewar commissioner previously and when I was state auditor, I actually supported taking the local governments out but leaving them on a cap, and I testified that way. But I'm concerned that there's such a large discrepancy, and it's only growing between local government salaries and state government salaries. And it's a very serious problem, especially in light of the fact that you have a lot of retirements coming up and you need to have new folks fill in those positions. But people are leaving state government to go work for a county or a school district. Our former finance commissioner did that. And it's just going to continue to grow. And so it's something I would hope that we discuss as a real problem and maybe some potential solutions, at least down the road. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Comments? Well, Senator Coring, you propose motion. It was tabled.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if we ought to get it off the table.
Well, I would make that motion and pull it off the table if that's what the chair would like to do at this particular time.
Seems appropriate, I think.
Okay, I would make that motion.
A second. Do you require one?
Not that I'm aware of.
Get it off the table.
No.
Okay. Any support getting it off the table, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's off the table, sir.
Okay.
Representative Beard and I believe Representative Atkins had something to suggest that we contemplate beyond what the acceptance of your motion would signify, Senator Coring, and that, if I can somehow attempt to paraphrase it, is given current economic conditions, it may be inappropriate for this group at this time to perhaps recommend increases in salary, but the economy is not going to stay flat that long. It's going to improve, and we wouldn't want to let subsequent folks think that with an improved economy, some sort of salary recommendations of increases is not in order. I don't know whether I've done this, but I think that's kind of half what Representative Beard isn't here. Representative Atkins, is that closing in on anything you had in mind?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was hoping that my smarter brother, Representative Beard, would be in attendance. We visited yesterday a little bit, and I think he was chatting with some others about the. My sense is that there's no disagreement about the fact that we're in a tough bind right now, and that recommending any sort of increase would probably be met with a bit of skepticism, to put it nicely, by some of our brothers and sisters in the House. But there was at least a concern that for us to be setting our own salaries, you know, 98% of Minnesotans, or whatever that figure is, do not set their own salaries. And so there was a proposal last year that kind of came up at the very end of the session that would have taken that responsibility and given it to a different body. And it was proposed in a bill, 3796, that Representative Eakin had in the House,
Senator Clark had
in the Senate. And actually, for the lateness with which it was starting to move, I think it came within minutes, literally, of passage. We literally ran out of time. It got to be closing time, and we adjourned sine die, and it just wasn't heard. But it seemed to have support, and I think the sense of both bodies was that we ought to take, we shouldn't be setting our own salaries. As far as the bodies setting judiciary salaries and other agency heads and so forth, I don't think most members see anything wrong with that. But there's just something a little bit distasteful about setting one's own salaries, especially when it's the public's money. So it was met with, I think, a good amount of support and ran out of time, but it seems like a worthy topic to have discussed by this group, of whether or not at least for legislators should there be some other group. And the proposal, it should be in your packets in terms of what the bill proposed as far as the composition of the group that would set it. At least my humble suggestion to Senator Coring is perhaps your suggested or your motion was a recommendation of basically nothing. That in the very least for legislators that we find some other, we recommend that a different group set our pay than doing it ourselves.
What does this bill propose, sir?
It appoints a group that's the composition of the, it would actually, I believe it has to be a constitutional amendment for those that followed it closer than I did last year. So it would have to be placed on the ballot, I guess, in be the fall of November 2010. And the actual question that would be on the ballot would state, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to remove legislators' ability to set their own salaries and per diem and instead establish a citizens-only council to prescribe salaries and per diem for legislators? Assuming that had the requisite support from voters, it would then go to a group that's composition is set out on the first page. And it's one person who is not a judge from each congressional district, one member from each congressional district appointed by the governor, half of the members appointed, and it just goes, I don't think there's any magic necessarily to the composition of the group, but that it would be actual citizens that would set our pay rather than us, ourselves. I appreciate the staff's putting that in the materials for people to consider, but I'd sure be interested in getting some reaction to that sort of thing rather than having this the situation that we currently have.
Chair.
Ms. Green?
Can I speak to that as
Please.
Being a citizen? We were just having that discussion at this end of the table, and I really appreciate that. What are the chances? This was a bill from last year. What are the chances of something like this coming up again?
Well, this body, I think if it were to be recommended by the Compensation Council, that actually does carry some weight. The policy suggestions, as I understand it from this group, have been somewhat like the legislative auditor. There's a great deal of thoughtfulness that goes into this, and legislators give them some deep regard. The actual percentages that we've recommended are usually fallen, because we've recommended, I shouldn't say, well, I've only been on this council for like a year or 2 years. But the legislature has not generally gone along with recommended pay increases for the legislature. Understandably so. But I think if the group recommended you shouldn't be setting your own pay, you should give that to some citizens, I think that would be well regarded. And given some great thought.
Recognizing the sensitivity of this question, I believe it was a legislator 4 years ago who proposed that legislative salaries be set as a percentage of the governor's salaries. So, in effect, we're not dealing directly with that. If you can address the propriety of the level of salary for the governor, they would automatically follow. And I think the last session of this group recommended that the salary of legislators be 33% of what the governor's is. I don't know whether that was ever discussed. Senator Coring?
Mr. Chairman, I was on the Compensation Council when we did make that recommendation to the legislature to set the salary at one-third of whatever the governor's salary is. And I guess I just want to weigh in on what my friend Representative Atkins is talking about. I don't support that bill. I believe that we as legislators are elected to make the financial decisions of the state of Minnesota, including salaries of legislators. And technically, and we'll probably squabble about this, but we are not setting our own salary. When we change the salary, we're setting the salary for the people that are elected in the next election cycle. So if you come back, you've actually increased your salary if you voted for an increase. But you're not changing your salary. You're changing the salary of the people that come after you or if you're reelected.
And 80% of us come back.
Well,
I'm sorry,
okay.
Mr. Chair, but you really are. I mean, let's face what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Question. That's sort of what I was getting to. I mean, how the incumbency rate's pretty high. And also, how many times, say, in the last decade have increases been recommended by the Compensation Council and then legislators vote them down? Because it's flat.
Every time.
Every
right.
single
yeah.
time.
Right. You.
So that.
Mr. Cummins?
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying legislators aren't doing very well.
keeping
up with inflation.
The key word in this whole thing is that we make recommendations. The thing, and the question I asked last time is we come down here, we have these meetings, we talk, and we listen to each other, but then in the end, nothing ever happens. And my question is what's the purpose of this committee then if we're not going to do anything? And I ran for U.S. House in the last election, and so what I did is I just sent out an email to a bunch of people that constituents. Voters up in the 8th district, and I asked them, I said, what's your recommendations? What do you think we should be doing here? And overall, the number one thing that came back is they hate per diem. Mm-hmm. They absolutely hate per diem. And the fact that they, and what they don't like about it is that you don't have to substantiate any of your receipts or any of your expenses that you turn in. They would much rather see us, figure out what the average of per diem is, add it to the salary, and then get rid of per diem. Figure out what the average person is or what they're doing. But the fact of the matter is we continue to talk about recommendations. Why can't this council or this committee, instead of making recommendations, have some teeth to what we're doing here? Otherwise, what's the point of having it?
What do you mean, please, teeth?
We don't, statutorily.
Right, and I'm just saying, you know, it's basically it's what you're saying, how an outside body makes the recommendations, and that's what we use. So it's basically it's following up with what you're saying, what you agree with, and what you disagree with. But, you know, having a citizen body set, you know, set the salaries and not a legislative body setting salaries.
Mr. Chair, I should probably point out, because this may sound strange, but I don't necessarily know that Senator Coring and I completely disagree. All this would do is put the question to the voters to decide how they want it, how they want us compensated. They may say, no, we think you all, take Senator Coring's approach, you all ought to be setting your own pay. They may take my point of view on it, and there's others in the body that feel far more strongly than I do, because I do see the point of view that that Paul has. But I think most folks would say, you absolutely should not be able to be in the position of setting your own gull darn pay. You know, there ought to be the citizens ought to be the ones, and at least give folks the chance to vote on it.
And just a side comment, is if legislators were setting their own pay and people got upset with it, I don't think we would see an 80% return in the next election. You know, that's why I think that we need to start, having citizen organizations, working with the legislative body, not for the legislative body, in determining what it is, and then not, in just setting that.
Well, and in a traditional employment setting, the boss sets the salary. I'm not the boss of me.
Yeah,
the people that elect me are my boss. I would expect they to set the salary. Our Constitution currently has a different description of how that goes about. That's never been something I felt terribly comfortable about. Even as a mayor, we set our own salaries. And I didn't feel that was right. So I'd much rather have the bosses set the salary than me.
Yeah, and in this case, the citizens of the state of Minnesota are the boss.
Exactly.
Well, having been around since almost the inception of this council, it was intended when it was created to take away some of the burden and the onus by the legislature for setting its own salary, and at least have some set of recommendations in front of it so that if they followed the recommendations and it called for an increase, they would be able to explain to the electorate that this was what was recommended. And it's frankly had a very checkered career. There have been times early on when it had some success, and more recently it's stumbled, and there have been factors when it reached legislative attention and said, no, we're not going to touch it. Well, for purposes of Representative Atkins, would you... Ms. Anderson.
May I chime in first? I could go either. First of all, I think you guys should have had the guts to take care of this 10 years ago, okay? But obviously that's not the case. So,
thanks a lot, Pat.
That's honest.
You weren't here 10 years ago.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Thank you.
I think if this is the way that we're looking for the way to deal with this, and it's a way you can deal with it, you also need to include the executive branch officers. You can't have a compensation council that sets the salary of the legislators, but then the legislators set the salary of the executive. So you got to include all of it, I think. And because otherwise you're still going to have politics in this process. So I would, if we go this way, you got something there you want to bring up? Okay, all right.
I just magically, this came into my hand.
And we have not talked, so. But then I have another question. This is not a general election year. Is this something we would propose go on the ballot this fall anyway? How does is anybody, maybe the staff or the chair, can?
Is this
a 2010 issue?
If this moves forward, how would you see it?
Well, why don't, Mr. Chair, if it'd be all right, why don't I pass the staff was kind enough to look back to see some of the things that we've done in the past. Frame it along those lines in terms of what we're talking about here today. Why don't we take a look at this and see what the reaction is?
Can you say this?
This is a proposed set of findings and recommendations that my sense from our esteemed staff is that this is modeled after. Not the exact same language, but modeled after past sets of findings and recommendations that, at least in terms of the format, that this group has done in previous times. And maybe we can just briefly...
You want to read it, sir?
I'd be happy to. Under the finding sections, Mr. Chair, it says the Compensation Council concludes that the current statutory system where the Compensation Council recommends salary adjustments for the members of the judiciary, which are then modified and acted on by the legislature, works relatively well. Number two, for 10 years, the council has made recommendations for increases in salaries of constitutional officers and legislators with no changes adopted by the legislature. We conclude that the current statutory scheme for adjusting salaries for these positions does not work. Number three, the council has reviewed legislation considered during the 2008 legislative session, specifically House File 3796 and its companion 3793. Then recommendations one and two. Number one would be the council recommends that the legislature revise the scheme by which salaries for constitutional officer and legislators are determined. And number two, the council recommends that the legislature consider passing a constitutional amendment asking the citizens of the state to restructure the Compensation Council so that it would have responsibility for directly establishing the salaries of constitutional officers and legislators. That's what it says, Mr. Chair.
Judges?
And what? Discussion now, or do you want to propose this?
What I would, well, we've, as I understand it, we've got Senator Coring's motion on the table before us under discussion. I would, if he'd be comfortable, I'd just suggest that this be amended to that, at least for the time period, and as I understand how this works, we've got between now and the end of 2010. There's not going to be any changes anyway, no matter what we do, right? I don't believe this is a time to give anybody a raise. I'm with Senator Coring. So I think that motion should be part of what we do, and then I would amend this on and say that between now and the end of session next year, which is when we would have until to put a constitutional amendment question on the ballot, that the legislature take up these recommendations, have a good, hearty discussion about whether it's the way we ought to go, and if there's enough votes to do it, we put it on the ballot for the for November of 2010.
Okay, but if we append this to the prevailing motion, that wouldn't preclude, because I think there's some who feel that we shouldn't conclude without suggesting that because this is a poor time economically to recommend increases, it's going to change, and there might be something we would propose subsequently for judiciary and maybe even for this 33% of the legislature.
Absolutely. I'm not crossing into those into those areas at all, Mr. Chair. This would just be a proposed amendment to the, I guess, to the, I'd be happy to do this individually, but we have a motion on the floor from Senator Coring. And so the appropriate thing at this point would, I suppose, be to offer it as an amendment to that.
Or either that or back off and wait until we deal with this in an appropriate fashion and then propose it again.
However the body would choose to go about it, I'm perfectly fine with it.
Well, may I suggest that we withhold on that? Let's just deal with Senator Coring's motion and a possible amendment that says when the economy is healthy again.
That's agreeable.
Well, would you explain that more carefully?
All right. But I get the impression from some discussion from the last meeting that if we pass Senator Coring's motion, that sends a signal for 2, 3, 4 years that we recommend zero increase. And the thought was that the economy inevitably is going to improve. And when it does, we perhaps should have some kind of a proposal that says when this happens, we, among other things, I think there was something with the judiciary that was passed last time that said when the, how does it run, Mr. Stanek, the proposal on the judiciary?
I think it was to inflationary increases.
Inflationary increase related to the
CPI or average of state employee bargaining outcomes, I think.
Yes. And there was this proposal for the legislative salaries being 33% of the governor's, which in effect would be, even by current circumstances, a modest increase. And perhaps something else that would be appended to that that would say, notwithstanding our zero increase at this time, when manana occurs,
We've got something that says we should deal with it positively. Am I clearer now?
Mm-hmm.
What about the proposal? Mr. Cummins.
If we made a proposal like that, does that keep per diem in the mix? Or is that removing per diem?
It does not remove. Well, it all depends what you wish, sir. I'm just suggesting a couple possibilities.
Because 33% of the governor's salary is a $9,000 increase in pay per year, you know, for the House. You know, that's a pretty good increase in pay.
We can do that.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm just talking out of order, Mr. Chair. That's why I sat in the corner with my back to the wall.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair, first of all, I really appreciate being on this group with people who are non-legislators. And in essence, I think I've said this before, Mr. Chair, that maybe we shouldn't be in the room for this discussion. Historically, I've never really liked constitutional amendments, and I haven't talked to Representative Atkins because I just think that that's just punting the responsibility. Mm-hmm. But if I think I understand where Representative Atkins is coming from, which is that on something like this, the public is the boss, and so you need to allow the public to give input because that's where they will feel comfortable, that they somehow have had an opportunity to have input into how we do this. And I'm wondering if there's another avenue to get around to the public input. And this is where I think the non-electeds in the room could be helpful with. I appreciate Mr. Cummins' comment about the per diem. I think that it rubs both ways. I think the public would be appalled if we were to... I used to be a lawyer who used to have to log hourly time slots every 15 minutes. I think that if we were to have legislators log the amount of time they spend doing legislative work, the public would be appalled, I think, after you calculate the per hour of how much some legislators, you know, most legislators actually spend doing this job.
I mean, they'd be impressed.
They were impressed, but they would see that it is not even minimum wage.
Right, 16-hour days.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we have been our worst enemy because we've not been willing to stand up to say, listen, it's an honorable job, but it's a hard job, and we work hard at it.
Right.
And we're just not, we're not trying to fleece the public. But it's a job, and we take that on as a job. It's not an extracurricular activities that gentlemanly farmers do when they're not in planting season anymore. I mean, the business of the state is very, very critical, and it takes a lot of people with skills and commitment and ability and a willingness to be here to do the work. And so I think that I've mentioned before that that's, for this group to help to frame that conversation would be helpful. I think that it is appropriate to have the discussion about base salary and per diem. I think it's also important to educate the public about the committee structure process, how we actually function as a legislature, because I think there is a difference in terms of your responsibility and your workload if you're a major committee chair versus if you're a junior member and the responsibilities that come with that. I think if you're chair of a committee and you're in a biennium and you're conducting interim meetings, which you should in order to get the work done, I think that's why the per diem system was put in place, so that legislators will work in the interim instead of coming back in January expecting to get the work done in 3 months. I think it is irresponsible. So that's a broader conversation that you know, I don't know if it's within the purview of this committee to have, but certainly there's not been, in the time that I've been here, an engagement about the real work of the legislature.
Mr. Chairman, then my comment then would be is then the legislative body has not done themselves a service, you know, by, you know, and letting people understand that, because what people are seeing, and this is, you know, and I'm just as guilty, you know, and I'm understanding it more, but what people are seeing is oh, they don't need to justify, you know, they don't need to show any receipts, nothing. They don't need to justify. This is money on the side. Is it taxed or is it non-taxed? You know, and what they're seeing is some people are taking it, some people are not. And, you know, I mean, why not just, you know, remove per diem and just set the base salary and make it so that way people understand that. Because most people in Minnesota, you know, at their jobs do not have per diem. You know, they get
right,
a salary.
But they're not traveling from various parts of the state to the capital to do their work at different times of the year. So it's not...
Well, if the suggestion of 33% of the governor's salary,
that
resulted in a $9,000 increase, then there might be some further motivation to deal otherwise with the per diem question. Ms. Erickson.
Yes, I have a question. Have we ever looked at per diem as evaluated it to see if it's serving its purpose and if it's doing what it's supposed to do? Are we seeing certain people have higher per diems all the time?
That's been actually picked up by the, I don't know, who did the study, where there was, you know, a little bit of gotcha going on, but there is a great variety in who takes it and who doesn't, but that may reflect personal circumstances, including, you know, where they live and other jobs and other responsibilities. So,
and I'm not looking at a gotcha type scenario. I'm wondering if maybe we should just be more realistic and per diem is here, but cap it, say, after so much, it's excessive.
Well, and let me say that in conversations with some of my colleagues, people choose to not take per diem because they don't want to be politically caught in the gotcha. And then some people don't claim up to the full amount for the time that they do put into the work that they do because they don't want to be first or second or third or fourth or fifth on the per diem list. So this is where I think it's not an issue of gotcha. I think fundamentally members of the legislature work really hard. I mean, they work really hard. And you can either function from the perspective that these are a bunch of lazy do-nothings who just want to go out there and collect their per diem, or you start from the premise to say, you know, these people work really hard. And so where you're at and how you view the legislature and the work that it does affects how you translate, how you interpret what per diem is. I know a lot of members say, I choose not to claim per diem because, and people philosophically have different reasons for doing that, but I think it's disingenuous, and I think the debate around per diem and salary has become so politicized that the public has a bad perception of it, and members then play political football with it for themselves. And I guarantee you that the people who feel like they could claim per diem are the ones who come from safe districts, where they know that their constituents know that they work hard, and that even if they show up as a top per diem collector, their constituents will say, my member works really hard, and I'm okay with that. And if you look at who are the top per diem claimers, most of them are chairs. Chairs. Well, you don't think Luna Berglund should be claiming per diem for all the work that she's doing all throughout the summer? And putting the healthcare issues together, some people say maybe she shouldn't. Well, it's a job, and she's here every day. So I think that's where the conversation needs to be had. And my thought is that one of the things this council could be helpful with is to in its role as a council that makes recommendations, is that these are some of the truths that maybe we ought to. You know, put in a report or examine and take a look at. I mean, if you're going to say eliminate the per diem, if chairs have to put in extra time, then put in a chairs bump, right?
In
terms of the responsibility, right?
Then.
So I mean, I think those, but I don't.
Positions.
There's not been a desire to think creatively and honestly and transparently about how we do this.
Mr. Chair, just a final comment, and this is where the problem is.
Yes.
Is the people of Minnesota, they see this,
yep,
and they become enraged by it. And you, as a legislative body, have the ability to eliminate that rage. You have the ability to. yes, if somebody's working through the summer or if they're on a chair or on a committee, then give them a 1 or a 2%, you know, of the governor's salary, you know, bump for being on that chair for doing these extra meetings. You know, but, you know, what's happening is people are seeing this and seeing it as a, it is, you know, they're just, the perception is all wrong.
I'm in absolute agreement with you. So I'm not arguing.
No. I'm not arguing with you either. My point is, is people, you know, when times are tough, you know, like they are now, people are frustrated with you know, the news media saying, you guys are lobbing your missiles this way, you're lobbing them this way, and seeing nothing getting done because everybody's blaming everybody else. And then they're saying, why are we, you know, paying these people to do this? And so we need to make it so people understand that, so that when pay increases do happen for hard work that's done, they are not outraged by those pay increases.
Okay, I'm going to suggest that we deal with Senator Coring's motion, and then with the understanding that we will then take up your motion, if it may be predicated on the state of the economy for the present time, and then perhaps look at whether when the economy improves, and then if we want to deal separately with the per diem question, fine. Is that agreeable?
Could you restate the motion?
I can restate it if I could say something. Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a comment. I would just say that serving in the Minnesota Senate is the highest honor that I think that I will ever see or have in my entire life. And to know that I'm down here speaking for 75 to 80,000 people is a big deal to me. And I'm not doing this job for the money. And I personally, right at this time, I'm certainly happy with the compensation that I'm getting. If you add it up with the per diem, it's about $40,000 a year, plus my health insurance is paid. I get paid mileage to come down here to the Capitol. I'm 150 miles away, so I am compensated for my housing, which is much appreciated. And so I'm just speaking for one member of the legislature. I'm certainly happy with the way it is. And you know, I'll go back to what I said last meeting. I've had about 350 people at Larson Boats lose their job, and there is no work for them. The Brainerd Dispatch is in trouble. They laid off a friend of mine that worked there for 22 years. She's out of a job, no health care insurance. The other employees have taken a 7% decrease. And so what I would like to see on this council is us send a message that, yes, we do understand the economic times, and that's why I suggested a 0% increase from this council. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would renew my motion, which says, restate my motion to say that I have moved that this compensation council, excuse me, recommend a 0% increase for all constitutional officers, agency heads, judges, and legislators.
Would you be willing to have a precedent of that says, given the state, current state of the economy?
Mr. Chairman, I would just as soon have my motion stand the way it is. Okay. Anybody can offer an amendment if they want, or we can make, after this amendment is, or this motion is voted on, this council can still make recommendations over and above what this recommendation is. And so I would like to have this stand by itself. And Mr. Chairman, I think this is extremely important. I would actually like to have a roll call vote on this, if we could.
Tony, was there a second?
Second.
Ms. Crockett, any further discussion?
I just have a point of discussion here. I have a concern for the agency head. I don't want to change anything that you've said, but I've worked with different departments that are working with the State Investment Board, and we've had an issue with that. And when it comes to agency heads, we in the state, in order to operate efficiently and effectively, need to be able to attract the best and the brightest. So I think as a discussion point, I think that that needs to move forward as long as when we're talking about legislators and our constitutional officers. Because truly, we do need the best and the brightest, and if it's going to be a hindrance because they are locked into a percentage of what we're doing by a zero gain, that could really impact our state.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the maker of the motion, because it sounds almost truncated here given the work we have to do. I understand constitutional officers and agency heads. The motion we're making starts on, I believe, July 1st for the budget that we're building right now, we as legislators are building right now. However, the recommendation for legislators at zero actually is the recommendation for after the next election. So the legislature that will be seated after the November 2010 elections is the recommendation that I believe the maker is making. Is that your intent?
Mr. Chairman, we've had this discussion last time. It's my understanding that this compensation council meets every 2 years, correct?
Right.
Okay. So we're meeting now in 2009. We're making recommendations now. So the legislature could act either this year on these recommendations, or they could act on the recommendations in the 2010 legislative session. Then, let's just say hypothetically, the compensation council would say we recommend a 3% increase for legislators. Then we could either vote on that this year, or we could vote on it in 2010, and then that would take effect in 2000. The new people that were elected, or the legislators that were reelected. So actually, all we're doing is making recommendations now, and then this council meets, not the same council, the way I understand it. The next council meets in 2011. And then they make recommendations moving forward. So I'm not making recommendations for the next legislature. I'm making recommendations for this legislative body.
Representative Beard?
Actually, that's not accurate, Mr. Chairman. We are making, if this motion prevails, we have closed the door on the legislature that will be elected in November of 2010. It's that simple.
I have, Mr. Chair, if I might, why don't we just make it clear in the motion and I'd be willing to offer the amendment and say for pay in 2009 and 2010. Does that get at it, Mike?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's already a done deal. The last Compensation Council set that, and that's very clear.
But that's what we're trying to get at, right, is pay in this current economy. And then we don't affect into 2011, 12, 13, 18, 20, whatever.
Ms. Anderson?
Representative Adkins, if that's an amendment to the motion, I'll support that. I think that solves everybody's what they're trying to get.
Okay, state it again, please. If this is specifically intended to apply only to 2009 and 10.
For pay in 2009 and 2010.
Representative Beard?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
It's been seconded, Ms. Anderson.
Seconded. We're under the discussion. I suppose that would... but it strikes me as unnecessary because it's already a done deal. Perhaps what Representative Atkins is doing is speaking to the larger public, for which there is some confusion to this issue. I just want it to be, it's on, are we taping? Is it being recorded? Good deal. So it is on the record then that this does not deal with the legislature that will be elected in November of 2010. Those are the people I would like to speak to here in a moment.
Okay.
If that's the motion, then I suppose I could support that, just so the record's clear.
All right, is there any further discussion on the amendment?
Many support the amendment. Is that going to say aye?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Carries. Okay, on the main motion then.
Further discussion. Restate a direct.
Want to restate, please?
Mr. Chair and members, as I understand Senator Croyne's motion, it's to recommend a 0% increase for all constitutional officers, agency heads, judges, and legislators for pay in 2009 and 2010.
Okay. For the discussion, you asked for roll call, sir?
Yep.
Sorry.
Ralph? Anderson?
Aye.
Atkins?
Aye.
Beard?
Aye.
Carter?
Nay.
Crockett?
Aye.
Cummins?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Green?
Aye.
Hoppner?
Aye.
Coring?
Aye.
Moa?
Nay.
Stanek?
Aye.
Swain?
Aye.
11 ayes, 2 nays.
Motion carries. Okay.
May I offer this?
Okay, do we want to... Well, first, if you please. Do we want to address the future in terms of assuming an improved economy? Do we want to just stand silent and say zero all the way as is?
Could you please repeat?
Well, this has been predicated on the state of the current economy, and the amendment we offered wanted to make very clear that this was the essence of it. But I think there was some discussion on that detected it on a preliminary basis at our first meeting that said, this isn't going to last forever, and do we want to have, wherever it is this council's recommendations is aimed at, think that what we're doing is saying nothing for 4 years? Or do we say something to the effect that the economy will improve, and when that happens, possibility of what was recommended for the judiciary 2 years ago, which was an increase based upon, let me state that again.
Bargaining, the average increase
the average
for the bargaining,
rates for government. State employees, yeah. So that sensing that adjustments are ultimately inevitable if we're going to keep pace with any kind of a marketplace. And there was also the companion suggestion for 33% of the governor's salary for the legislature. I'm just suggesting some of the things that were proposed before, or do we want to remain silent?
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Anderson.
May I? I think there's a couple things. I would like to recommend that we support the handout for the constitutional amendment. There's two recommendations. We recommend the legislature revise the scheme, and then the recommend that the legislature consider passing this constitutional amendment directly establishing salaries of constitutional officers and legislators, which would include per diem the way the bill was written before. I would recommend that we support this. It doesn't mean we're not going to deal with these other issues, but it's been shown, you know, it's a tough thing, but there's logic to having this set by an outside body down the road. So as another motion, I would move that we support these two recommendations.
The constitutional revision.
Right.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins' proposal. Okay. John?
I'd just like to be heard on this. While finding number one indicates the system for the judiciary has worked relatively well, I think the evidence really would suggest that that's been true in recent years, but not historically. If you go back into the 90s, there were major gaps when the judiciary, much like the legislature and the executive branch, was not included. I will, you know, disclose I am an appointee here of the judicial branch of government. But I have to tell you that when I look at the information that was presented to us that shows the average the Minnesota trial court judge's salary is about the same as large law firms are paying first-year associates. It's below people in the U.S. Attorney's Office. It's below the Hennepin, Ramsey, and Dakota County Attorney's Office. I cannot conclude that the system has worked well. The original purpose of the Compensation Council was to take decisions related to pay for judges, executive branch, and legislators outside of the political process. And I remember Senator Alan Speer saying over the history of this group, it hasn't worked very well. You know, the hope was we could give courage to those who made the decisions to follow these recommendations, and we wouldn't have these big gaps where then we'd have to do these huge catch-ups. And so I think the original intent was to say citizens ought to come and add their voice to provide the courage for the political decision-makers to do the right things. And that's true of the executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch. I'd be very hesitant to exclude the judiciary from this and make them the only branch of government, an independent branch of government, susceptible to the whims of the legislature and the executive branch. So I certainly appreciate the intent of the motion with regard to the recent history, but I think that if we're going to do this for everyone that was originally part of this compensation council, the constitutional amendment should apply to all branches. In the alternative, I would suggest that we ought to just go with what's been described as the permanent fix, which is for, you know, maybe the judges have been adjusted at close to base, and we should have some type of just an inflationary increase over time and resolve the issue that way. But I don't think we should leave the judiciary out.
Representative Atkins, Senator
Thank Klein. You. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't disagree with a single word of the basis for Mr. Stanek's conclusion. I just disagree with his conclusion. And and the reason I say that, and I'll just be real frank, I don't think, and I should reiterate, I have concerns about judicial pay. You're definitely not going to attract the top quality. We have a very strong judiciary in Minnesota. But we just had this discussion relative to work comp judges and unemployment judges. If you can barely get first-year law students to do some of these judicial positions, and I don't want my unemployment claim or my work comp claim or, you know, whether I go to jail or something like that being decided. They're good people. But a first-year law student, you know, or second or third, is not necessarily the person that we want in that position. So I wholeheartedly agree. That said, is I'm a little concerned that the average person, they look at a legislator's salary, they kind of got a sense for what we do. They look at the governor and the constitutional officers. I think they got a decent sense on that. But when you tell them what a judge makes, what is it, $129,000 or something like that, $130,000, they go, oh, my heavens, that's a huge amount of money. And the recommendation might well be to cut it and say, boy, $100,000 ought to be enough to get somebody to do a good judges. So that's, I just am saying I wouldn't necessarily oppose that be part of the recommendation, that be considered to be, you know, put out to the public to let them decide. But it's a little along those lines, like my mom used to say, be careful, Joey, what you wish for, because I'm not so sure that that a compensation council composed of, you know, not necessarily this group, but whomever might not say, wow, maybe we should cut those salaries. They're too high.
Before Senator Coring, do I understand it then, if your motion passes and ultimately this constitutional amendment is approved, a separate citizen group would set the salaries, or I guess they would set them. There would still be no condition dependent upon appropriations from the legislature?
They would set them. It's actually Ms. Anderson's motion.
Then there would be a compensation council, assuming the same, who would exist solely to deal with the judiciary. That would be the end of the result?
Depending on whether if it becomes part of this.
But if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, we would continue to do it in the fashion that we've done it in the past.
But just for the
Just
for the judiciary?
This, as I understand it, I'm kind of new to this still, and these fellows might be able to tell you better, but it would come as a recommendation from us to the full legislature. The legislature would then, to the extent we appropriated money and approved it, we would still control judicial salaries.
Yes, okay. Senator Corrin.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I'm sorry about that. I would just point out to the council that public service is that. It's public service. I would point out the fact that if you look at President Obama's cabinet, I just thought about Timothy Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury. Timothy Geithner can make a heck of a lot more money in the private sector, but he chose public service. He chose to sacrifice. And to say that judges are not first-year law students are starting out at more than a judge or whatever, that's the way it is. Public service is just that. And so to think that public servants need to get up to the level of the private sector is just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. So if you don't want to serve in the public sector and serve the public, go to the private sector. You can make more money. Everybody knows that. But I wish we'd stop the conversation about trying to compare to the private sector, because public service is just that. If you don't want to serve the public, don't do it then.
Don't you think there is some distinction between the judiciary and other elected officials, and that the judiciary it normally is expected, hopefully, it becomes a career?
Well, if you look at the salaries in here, and you compare those salaries to what the average person is making in my district of $19,000 a year, these salaries are actually pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
The thing you follow, Mr. Chair, Senator Corning, you're missing the point, though, is that it is public service. Everybody sitting around the table here today is doing a public service. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get good people to apply, when we're talking about judges, these are people that are affecting people's liberty. Mm-hmm. I want good folks to apply and want these jobs, and I can absolutely guarantee you that we are at a point now where we're having a lot of folks that would be great judges that would apply that are saying, just can't do it.
Mr. Chair?
Can't afford to take that kind of cut. And that probably have the same sort of discussion among legislators and all of those folks, too. Mm-hmm. But right now we're focused on that judicial. I want to make sure that we've got folks making those decisions that are the absolute best attorneys and judges that we can possibly get.
Mr. Stanek, then Ms. Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, just let me state, first of all, that I don't know a judge in this state who would not make the same statement you made earlier about the greatest honor in your life is to serve as a member of the state Senate. Mm-hmm. I think every judge in this state would say probably the singular professional honor of their life would be to serve the citizens as a district court or appellate or Supreme Court justice in the state. That's the kind of people we tracked historically, and they would make the same statement. I would point out that when it comes to comparisons, by statute, this group is asked to consider the amount of compensation paid in government service and the private sector to persons with similar qualifications. Two, the amount needed to attract and retain experienced and competent persons. I'm not suggesting in any way that the compensation of a district court judge or an appellate court judge should be brought up to a senior partner in one of the largest law firms in the state. But we at least ought to acknowledge that our statutory obligation is to say, are we keeping pace with what's going on in the private sector, not only for judges, but for legislators, people performing similar functions, and certainly for the executive branch of government. I mean, the governor of our state is the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar corporation, makes decisions every day that impact each of us, and we ought to be taking that into account and making sure we don't have these huge, big gaps. And I have tremendous respect for Representative Atkinson's comments. The only thing I would point out is with regard to the judiciary, if we're going to allow citizens to make recommendations that are binding for the legislative branch and the executive branch and agency heads, let's have the same confidence in those citizens to make correct decisions regarding the judiciary.
Ms. Anderson?
Mr. Chair, if I will, I will amend my own motion, if I can do that, and remove the first finding, because I didn't even look at the findings, I have to admit that, but also include and under recommendation number 2 on the last sentence, the very end, it says, for directly establishing the salaries of constitutional officers, I would add, comma, members of the judiciary, comma, and then, and legislators.
Second.
Not agency heads. I think that should still be set by
the percentage.
That's a percentage of the governor.
Right. That should still be set through the process that the bargaining agreements are done.
Okay. That amendment has been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Representative Byrd.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. To be clear, and I apologize for coming in a little late. A little incident at home that delayed me a bit this morning. Are we looking at CC Rec 5? Is that the motion
yes,
that's
sir.
In front of us? Yeah, is that Representative Atkins' motion, or is that Representative, or I'm sorry, is that Ms. Anderson's motion?
It's mine original. Now.
Well, okay, so that's the motion in front of us. That's what I wanted to be clear on. Okay, I'll just let it stand at that.
Okay. That's your motion, and it's been seconded by Mr. Stanek. Further discussion? As many who support the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Mr. Caring? Is that Representative Caring? Yes.
Senator Caring, yes.
Senator Caring, excuse me. Just want to be clear.
Okay. All right. That now has been passed. So we're making this recommendation to the legislature to put it on the ballot as a constitutional amendment.
Now then, Mr. Chair.
Representative Beard.
Which constitutional amendments are we referring to here? I have two of them in my packet, one a Senate file, one a House file. Generally line up, I guess, but maybe not so much.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, most of the discussion has been from the House file. The Senate file was somewhat different in that it included not only legislators but also constitutional officers, which the proposal or the recommendation from the council reflects.
Okay.
The House file dealt with both legislator salaries and legislator per diem. The resolution that's didn't deal with that issue. It just dealt with salaries.
Okay.
Do we want to deal with per diem?
And I believe there's some difference in how the councils are appointed. One of the files has the House and Senate each appointing three members, two from the judiciary and eight by the governor. I think it was the Senate file that has eight by the Supreme Court and eight by the governor. So there are a number of technical differences between the two bills.
Mr. Chair, I don't think it was our it was not my intention to support each of these, one or the other bill. It was just that the legislature devised a scheme to do this. One thing that I guess we missed is it should also include the per diem issue. Per diem should also be set by this committee. It doesn't make as long as we're going to deal with pay, we should deal with pay in whole.
What are you suggesting?
So I'd like to make a
reimbursements, including
per diem
compensation. Just say compensation, including per diem, housing.
We've already passed this now.
Well, I think it needs to be clear that the issue, it's not just a base salary that's to be dealt with. It's also per diem and total compensation.
Did your suggestion initially contemplate that, Representative Atkins?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Had I been listening, I'd be able to. Well, we were busy talking about the use of the word scheme. Mechanism is a better term.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I am sorry, though.
As I understand it, Ms.
Or we could make a motion that this was written by Mr. Representative Atkins, too.
As I understand it, Ms.
It's your motion.
Well, we've already passed the motion on Ms. Anderson.
We can still change it, though, okay, Mr. Chair.
I'd like to change it.
Does your original contemplate including per diem in this whole concept?
I appreciate the attribution. I'm trying to recollect the discussion on the by the actual authors of the bill. I'm perfectly comfortable talking about compensation generally, and that would be the whole package, which is salary and per diem and whatever else.
Okay.
But whatever this group is charged with.
Representative Beard, you had some question about procedure here now.
Back to the question of procedure, I was under the impression that we amended a motion that was on the floor. We adopted the amendment. We have not yet passed the motion, have we?
I thought that you revised your motion.
I revised it myself.
Revised your motion initially so that we encompassed everything. This is my understanding. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
But
now, I'd like to clarify the question. Was this all compensation?
I think we need to change some of the language in here, if I may, Mr. Chair.
What would you propose?
Give it a shot.
Mr. Chair, instead of re-voting in this motion, can we just do a separate clarification motion that's on its own without bringing this back up for a re-vote?
Okay.
So you can just do a separate motion to clarify the intent of.
In that, change the word scheme to mechanism also through
that
clarification
seems to be
motion?
The,
okay.
That's not the group, correct? We're part.
Okay.
Done.
I'd like to move that we clarify changing the word scheme to mechanism and then adding, it says by which salaries, add the words and total compensation for.
Third second?
Which one?
In one and two.
In one and two. So also in the second, salaries and total compensation.
There's a second?
Second.
We already
discussion.
Added judges, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Discussion?
Yes, please. Just for the sake of clarity, when we talk about total compensation, are we
Just so we have a record of it, are we talking about salary and per diem, or are we
generally?
All right. Well, I don't want to say generally though, because there's under, you know, there's for example the, I don't, I should know this, but we get some sort of stamp allowance of a few hundred dollars, and that's set by the House each year at the beginning of session. We figure out, you know, and there's somebody smarter than me should be able to. Obviously, there's insurance,
right?
And there's housing that some members qualify for. Are we just talking about
telecommunications?
Let's just make it.
Should we just say
per
the
diem.
Per diem and salary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that agreeable?
Yep, yeah. That's agreeable.
That's your motion.
Yep.
Whoever seconded it, is that clear?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Brick.
To clarify, the group health insurance that we're on, I believe, is exactly what every state employee gets. Mm-hmm. So we do pay a portion of our health care coverage and anything else that we get. We're in the same pool with the state employees' insurance pool. Just to be clear, because it's been said a couple times that we get our insurance. Well, actually, we don't. We get what everyone else gets. We're in the same mix. So.
Okay, further discussion? If not, as many as will support the motion of Ms. Anderson, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay. Going back again to what if the economy improves, or not what, if when it improves.
Yes, sir.
We want to have some caveat in here that addresses this question and not remaining silent and therefore running the risk that someone will misinterpret what we intend long range.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the purpose of this committee is to establish pay increases for 2011-2012, and we haven't even done that yet.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Well, we've. All right.
So, I mean, am I correct? I mean, we've only talked about 2009-2010. Yeah. The purpose of this is 2011-2012. So, we still have not even done the work that we were commissioned to do.
Well, by restricting this initial motion to 2009, it's obvious, whereas we really are constituted to talk about 11 and 12.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we specifically said the former was 2009 and 10, so you're right, we haven't addressed this.
Mr. Chair,
please.
If the constitutional amendment passes and passes with the voters, then that would be, they would end up dealing with 2011. It wouldn't be from an election anymore. But we can't rely on that, of course.
I presuppose that at the moment. Representative Beard.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do have a motion I asked Mr. Hubinger to prepare. I don't know, Greg, did this get put in the packets or do we need to copy and move it?
We have copies. We did not distribute it yet.
Okay. I could, for the purposes of discussion, I could make a motion
Please.
Regarding 2011 and 2012, which would be the next. However, the motion that just passed might preclude some of the findings in the discussion here. Let me just read it quickly.
Representative, is this recommendation 7?
Yeah, CC Rec 7. Would you pass that out? And I'll run up the flagpole and see how much fire it takes. Maybe I need to run to the men's room and put on my napalm underwear first. Seriously, I will be right back.
Let the record reflect that he did.
Mr. Chairman.
The comment?
She made the comment, Mrs. Anderson made the comment that that if the constitutional amendment gets passed, that, you know, our recommendations here will become really null and void. But isn't the next compensation council then going to address this, and our recommendations now not become null and void?
Sorry, say it again.
Well, I mean, we're making recommendations for 2011-2010. If the constitutional amendment gets to the ballot and is passed, the next compensation council will be making recommendations then for 2012 and 2013.
And
I don't think there'll be
2013, 2014. So what the decisions we make here today are, in fact, important decisions.
But I believe if the constitutional amendment is proposed by the legislature and is subsequently adopted by the electorate, there will be no reason for the compensation council to thereafter exist. We've now included the judiciary in it, so why would the compensation have any reason to exist? So I think we must proceed on the basis that at least initially we have this charge before us, and
ignore what might happen with the constitutional amendment if it ever reaches that point. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Representative Beard has something, and he's going to join us shortly. Have we had a chance to read this? Okay, we have a different proposal here than the one that was passed by the previous compensation council. This one suggests that that the salaries of legislators be set at 40% of the salary of the governor beginning January 9, 2012. Mm-hmm. I assume that's the date that would be
next. Roof is impaneled, yes.
Okay. Are you proposing this, sir?
Well, Mr. Chairman, for purposes of discussion, let me move this, and we can talk about our responsibilities for the 2011-2012 legislature. So that the motion dies for lack of a second.
I'm sorry. I got diverted here. Again, would you say, please?
I said, for the purposes of discussion on what we should do for the next legislature, I would move this this amendment.
What, the 40% amendment, sir?
Correct.
Is there a second?
For discussion purposes, I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm assuming that it could be amended, it could be defeated, or it could be withdrawn. But, Mr. Chairman, if I can just speak to it for a moment here. We've had a lot of good discussion here this morning about what this group does, and I read Chapter 15 and the purposes of this council as it exists at this moment. I know we have a recommendation that we've passed to the legislature that this place be changed around, this council be changed. But after the next election, excuse me, I'm assuming things are going to be on the upswing again, and that regardless of whether it is or not, I'd like to get us out of the business of playing political football. I think I heard the senator use the word punting. We do that a lot here when it comes to compensation. People around this panel, around this table, have done good work, given of their lives and their time to come here and talk about how we should be paid in this place. Consistently, in the three sessions I've been here, and this is now the fourth, when those recommendations come to the floor, we sanctimoniously strip out our own pay, beat each other silly with it, and then defeat it, and then pass on everybody else unless we happen to be upset with the governor. Then we punish his appointees and the agency heads as well. So here we are at this place, and I thought, you know, had we maintained just a cost of living increase since we started doing this back in the mid-90s, we would be somewhere in the mid-40s. And so to take it away from ourselves and to tie it to someone who could be in the party opposite, I thought I'd recommend that we just set it as a portion of the governor's salary and leave it at that. And then I do have some ideas for changes in the rules of the House because, motion recognizes the importance of the legislature's work in actually appropriating the money for the pay increases that we have, which I think we might be in a bit of a pickle right now with the way the constitutional amendment is set up with automatic pay increases for agency heads, but yet the legislature is then compelled to appropriate money to match that. That could be problematic. I wasn't in the committee hearings that put these constitutional amendments together that floated through the House and the Senate last time, but I know there are some serious constitutional policy questions about another group being impaneled and empowered to order money to be spent that isn't taxed and appropriated by people with election certificates. I know that's been a problem all along with recommendations from the Compensation Council. So my motion would merely have us address the workings within the purview of the legislature, so we still have to appropriate, we still have to spend. But it would set our salaries and take some of the politics out of the play, I believe, and would put something in play should the constitutional amendments not pass, if the House and Senate can agree on a constitutional amendment. My amendment could be amended, or my motion could be amended, to make it contingent on there not being a constitutional amendment offered. That's a possibility. The percentages could be altered by amendment or so on and so forth, but this is the motion that I'd like to put in front of us at the moment.
You, of course, recall that the previous council recommended a 33%, a third.
Yes, and I'm looking through my papers here. I'm trying to find where that motion was. It was one reason I was querying you as to what motion was on the table.
That
who
was
owned
part
it.
Of our final report of the last council, correct?
Last council being?
Last competition council, 2 years ago.
2 years ago was 33%.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, would it be possible for Mr. Hubinger to summarize the recommendations of the last council, not only for legislative?
You know, I have that in my packet right here. I'm just coming to it again. But proceed. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, a copy of the 2007 recommendations were included in your packet for the last meeting, and I think Sally included it in your materials today. But the recommendations are on page 2 of the document. The council recommended that effective July 1, 2009 and 2010, that the increases, that judges' salaries be increased by the average of the across-the-board of employees in the executive branch. Second, that salaries of legislators be set at 33% of the salary of the governor. If that wasn't possible, then to implement a 3% increase in the two statutory time frames of January of 2009 and 2010. And then third, relating to salaries for constitutional officers, adjust the salary of the governor by inflation to bring that position to par. At that point, it would have been an increase from the current level of $120,000 to $137,000. The council wasn't in full agreement. There were 5 votes for that proposal. There were also 5 votes to make no change, and then 2 votes to provide a cost of living adjustment for 2009 and 10, and then recommending no changes in salary ranges for agency heads. There was a secondary recommendation that the salaries of judges be increased by 5% in July of 07 and another 5% in July of 08. Those are the substantive recommendations, Mr. Chair.
Okay, you've moved this, sir. Mm-hmm. There's been a second. No further discussion. Senator Corrigan.
Mr. Chairman, just a question for Representative Beard. Wondering if we could, I might have an incorporation. When the session first began, the House was debating whether or not to take the senator's parking spots away in the front of the Capitol. So I was just wondering if we could make sure that we're insured to have a place to park down here.
No.
What? No. Okay. And that was just a joke. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Let me just offer this observation first. I sense where you're getting at, but if we're going to do this, then we also need to deal with the governor's salary.
Agency heads.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would follow. We have.
Didn't you discuss taking our
my own view is that 40% of a projected increase in the governor's salary, which was just adjusted by the level of inflation from what was the last time it was? Governor, 98. What would that be adjusted by inflation today? Do we have that number?
$160,000 a year.
I've got a lot of numbers coming out here. Right hand, please.
Would it be,
Mr. Chair, if the governor's salary were projected out January 1st of 2009, it would be $157,000.
Adjusted by inflation from the time it was last adjusted.
Correct.
With options.
40% Representative Beard.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that discussion really has little bearing on this because the governor's salary is what it is right now, which is what, 120 something? And that's the number I was keying off of. The motion that this body just recommended, which is why I was querying the maker of the motion, Senator Coring, about how far it went, is that for this, the next 2 years, 09 and 10, everything will stay at zero. So I'm assuming that the governor's salary will stay there. The governor's salary cannot be raised or isn't going to have another recommendation until the next compensation council is impaneled, which would be after the next election. So whatever, if we would, the stars align and all that other stuff, and this is adopted, this 40% number would be off of that.
off of the current compensation. The next compensation council could raise the governor's salary.
Why can't this compensation council?
Because we just voted to give it a zero, if I'm not mistaken.
Not 2009 and 10.
In 9 and 10.
Yeah. We just voted, but we still are looking at 11 and 12.
Yeah, we're responsible for 11 and 12.
No, Mr. Chairman, okay. Let me rephrase it as a question. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Mr. Hubinger if we are only dealing with the legislature in 11 and 12 because we specifically said zero from now until the end of this board's authority, which is 10. But the only thing then we have left to do is to make the recommendations for the elected officials, the legislative elected officials, after the next election. Is that right?
No.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, the statutory responsibility for the council is to make recommendations not only for legislators but also constitutional officers for 11 and 12 and the judiciary.
So we have them in there also. Okay. Well, good. We can do that too then.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins.
Just as this is a very genuine question. It's not designed to set up an answer or anything like that, but the proposed recommendation, I think, from a political reality standpoint is probably dead on arrival because all of us then in the legislature would be taking, and I say with due respect to Representative Beard, but we would be taking a vote to increase our pay to $48,000 as of 2012. Not necessarily my pay, as Senator Coring mentioned before, but the incumbent retention rate is somewhere in 75 to 80, 85% every year. And the campaign flyers that go out would say Atkins voted to raise his pay to $48,000. The question I would have for you, Representative Beard, is would you be interested in saying that that would then also include an elimination of the per diem?
Mr. Chairman, I would entertain that as well. If I can respond to a politically valid point that was just raised. Yes, I can see the postcards going on now. However, I would make it very clear that this is not ours. This is for those who are coming behind us. And if the voters in our district say, wait a minute, you voted for that, well, then I get to run for the pay increase. If I choose not to run, because I tell you, for my professional life, even if it goes to 48, I'm having a hard time being here if this is my job. This isn't there. This is more about the respect and about the political games we've played over the last 10 or 12 years with this whole issue. That's what this is about. But, if we want to tie in something with per diem, now we're starting to monkey with the rules. And, oh, by the way, Senator Coring, I voted for an amendment to let you park in front of the Capitol, but just to take the hoods off and make you put quarters in. I was protecting your right to park in front of the Capitol.
We're there for you, man.
We were there, yes. But no, seriously, Mr. Chair, those are things that the Rules Committee is going to want to have to talk about as we set up our own rules. How far do you live from the Capitol? Currently, if it's 50 miles or more, you get mileage and you get a housing allowance. If it's 49.9 or less, those are arbitrary rules we have set and we all discuss and vote on. Whether we want to pull the ability of the body to make its own rules into this amendment, that would be a fascinating discussion, and I think it's one we should have.
But for the moment, you're including the concept of per diem in your motion. Is that correct?
At the moment, I'm not. I'm sending signals I'm willing to include it if someone wants to move it.
Okay, now, we also then, following this discussion and vote, will be addressing constitutional officers. And very likely looking at the governor's situation.
Okay.
Notwithstanding that, you still feel the 40% is what you're currently, your.
I would be happy to defend it for my predecessor, yes.
Okay. It's been moved, and as a second, John, did you have something further, sir?
Well, I don't know if this comment would be appropriate at this time. I guess it depends on the maker of the motion, but it strikes me that if you look at the work of this council, what we've done to this point of this meeting, as we've said, for this current biennium, nobody ought to get a pay increase. And that seems like, you know, complete no-brainer given the economic circumstances, that good support here for that. We've said this council historically has not worked super good, so maybe we ought to have some type of constitutional amendment that could empower somebody to make these decisions, citizens, outside a politicized environment. Great. I'm wondering, from Representative Beard's perspective, it seems to me the period of time we're making recommendations, those 2 years out, 11 and 12. If we were to tie a proposal to the constitutional amendment, either it doesn't get adopted by the legislature or it does get adopted by the legislature and doesn't pass the voters, these recommendations would kick in upon that occurrence, plus some type of metric that would measure how's the economy performing. And I don't, for the life of me, have that right off the top of my head, but a two-trigger. If there's not a constitutional amendment and the economy is in a better situation, then we would make these recommendations, broaden it to go back to the previous council's recommendations, which would include tying legislators to a percentage of the governor's salary, increasing the governor's salary to adjust for inflation, which would also then bring up the other constitutional officers because they're tied to a percentage, go with the cost of living by bargaining units for the judiciary and somehow take into account Ms. Anderson's comments about agency heads. I'm wondering if that type of comprehensive proposal would be acceptable to you, and then if others might have a response or reaction to that.
Mr. Chairman, it would. I hope somebody was writing that all down, because if Mr. Stanton wanted to make that as an amendment to my motion, I would second the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I have a process question. Maybe it's for Mr. Huebinger. Can we come back next year? Can we make some sort of recommendation that if the legislature doesn't pass constitutional amendment this session, that we adjourn for right away?
We expire on May 1st or something, don't we?
So there isn't any way.
Not unless the legislature.
I'd like to, as chair of this committee, move to amend your motion from 40% to 33 1/3.
Okay. Which would take it to what? What's the?
It's where we, the last council.
$40,000.
Roughly
$40,000. Then, Mr. Swain, would you keep in play per diem as it is, or would that be reevaluated also?
I hadn't thought about it. I'm anticipating that subsequently we're going to make a motion. We're going to suggest, I hope, that the governor's salary be adjusted to reflect the
merit
inflation, whatever it is, since the last. So that then, if that number is, what, 157? Well, I'm jumping away, yes.
Yes.
33 1/3 of that is 50?
That's about
50. 50-some.
$52,000.
And I guess it would be the will of the group if my motion makes any sense at all as to whether or not it would include the per diem. We'd certainly be hopeful at some point we can get rid of that.
Can I try
first,
something?
Is there a second? Otherwise, we'll just go back
well,
where we were.
I'll second it for a little further discussion. But I maybe with Mr. Huebinger's help and with due respect to the chair, maybe it sounded like there was sort of we were revolving around what Mr. Stanek said, and he hoped somebody wrote it down. I tried, and I'm looking to you. Let's see if we can take a shot at it. And then respectfully perhaps pulled the current proposals, the two, the motion to amend as well as the motion, and just adopt what he suggested. What I got was that he said contingent on there being no constitutional amendment and the economy by some objective measure being better.
Recovered.
Then last year's recommendations become this year's recommendations. Mr. Swain, isn't that what you were alluding to? Is those are good recommendations in the past, in the situation we were in a couple of years ago when the economy was solid? And that if we're
the last compensation council's recommendations.
Correct.
Under Craig Shaver.
Correct. And I believe that they are in the packet.
They are right here.
So that we're not having to recreate that part of it. But it's just, so it's very simple then. Contingent upon no constitutional amendment, which we recommended above, and the economy being objectively better or objectively recovered, then last year's recommendations are the recommendations of this group.
Well,
here today. Did I get that, by the way?
Mr. Chair, I think that's a good summary. I would suggest we could come up with some language like the economy has recovered to a point where it's appropriate to consider increases in pay for public officials or something along that. And the only thing that I think Representative Atkins' summary left out is I do think we need to somehow address Ms. Anderson's concern about agency heads, because that was specifically not recommended or addressed by the previous council, and I think we ought to
absolutely
reconsider that and incorporate that. But other than that, I think Representative Atkins has got it right on the nose.
Well, I'll withdraw my amendment, but I want to understand how we would deal with the agency heads. We've gone through a pretty...
I think we just add them to the recommendations from last year, don't we? That
what
they would be a function of...
about agency head changes? Each agency head is designated as a percentage of the government.
Right. So we
85-95, and when we met originally, the representative from where suggested, in response to my question, said the governor's office was recommending no change there.
Mm-hmm. But implicit in this, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, to that point, implicit then in last year's recommendation, to the extent that the chief elected official salary is adjusted, it automatically would apply to the agency's head. So I don't know, and I'm looking at Mr. Hubinger to make sure that what I just said is for real.
What I would point out, Mr. Chair and members, is what this council recommends relates to the ranges of agency heads, mm-hmm. not the salaries themselves.
Right.
It's the governor that recommends salaries for the
and rightly so.
Salaries.
They're his people.
And, Mr. Chair, currently they're all at the highest is 90, so they're not even at the top of the range. I think, you know, the issue is in regards to agency heads is it was wrong when we changed it for local government officials not to include state agency heads. And we went out that we should have treated them all equally back then. But there was political reasons here that didn't occur as usual. And
you mean then the 95 versus the 85 versus the 75?
Well,
right?
The ranges for the locals are 110,
yep.
And then it's adjusted by inflation. And schools, counties, special districts, cities, all of them were changed except for your state
agency
employees.
Heads.
Could I suggest this, Ms. Anderson? Take Mr. Stanek's package, and we'll deal with the agency heads then separately next. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? All right, Representative Byrd, I've withdrawn my amendment.
Good. Well, then I was going to say, for process purposes, if you withdraw your amendment to my motion, I will withdraw my motion, and we'll have this marvelous one that Representative Atkins and
the Stanek
motion. Stanek motion, yeah.
Restated by my attorney.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move that one for discussion
John?
Purposes.
I'm prepared to proceed with the motion.
Please.
If there, so I would make the motion as restated
second.
By Representative Atkins.
Who seconded, please? That's great. All right, discussion, please.
Under discussion, Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the recommendations of last council as they were restated, and I think if staff just goes through and cleans up the dates that apply, that this could work actually quite nicely, it appears.
Following Representative Beard's comment, in the discussion in the 2007 recommendation relating to constitutional officers, the council was somewhat split. There were 5 votes for adjusting it by inflation, 5 for making no change, and 2 for inflation adjustment, or cost of living adjustment. Does the current council want to recommend that same, reflect that same split, or does it?
My motion contemplated an inflationary adjustment.
All right. I like that.
All right. Are we clear now? What's
no.
before us?
We need to go through each and
no,
every
sir.
One.
I have a question because when you go down to other recommendations, first of all, the agency head recommendation isn't, well, maybe that's what we want, but that's not what we discussed. And it's judges' salaries that needs to come up. But then the salary limits, I wasn't on this council last year, but they recommended that we repeal the salary limits on local government employees. And I don't know if we want to deal with that as a separate issue. I don't support doing that. I think we need to have limits, but they need to be reasonable limits, of which I think we have now on local government employees. So, I also think we should bring the schools back up. Why we treat superintendents.
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, I think there was a good suggestion that maybe what we could do to, you know, operate as much as possible by consensus or narrow the disagreements is to move through them by category, the previous recommendations, and then reserve, you know, pass what we can and leave outside the motion issues that are going to require more work or discussion. So if we were to take them in order, it would be the salaries of judges, it would be, we would substitute the dates, and it would be basically this language about it would be increases in the average increase for negotiated collective bargaining agreements.
Okay.
Any
other previous motions?
I think we could string together ones we can agree on and see if there's questions if we go through each one. So I don't know if there's any additional questions about the judges.
Well, I need to read recommendation number one on the salary of judges together with other recommendations number five and make sense of the two of them so I understand what we'd actually be recommending as a starting point.
I think that the, Mr. Chair, if I could respond to that, I believe that the other recommendations are kind of what we've done here today with regard to the current biennium, which is in addition to the recommendations provided for in law. In other words, we're here to talk about stuff in the out years, but what we did last time is we said, by the way, you didn't adopt the stuff from last time around, so we really meant it. Would you please do it now?
So
okay.
Number five
so I don't think we need
away.
That include. That would go away.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
We can delete number five.
So what we'd be actually, and any of the other recommendations were not technically within the charge of the Compensation Council. As
so the salary limits of six could be treated.
Could be treated as separate.
All
right.
Let's start with one.
So the salary of judges would be this inflationary notion, average collective bargaining agreements for the years that we're to make recommendations. For the salaries of legislators, we'd be recommending 33% of the salary of the governor. And then for constitutional officers, it would be, my proposal would be that we take option A, which would adjust the salary of the governor by the rate of inflation since the last salary increase. And I don't know, Mr. Chair, perhaps we need to vote on that.
Do you want to back up to legislators where it's the 33%, but if they are not able to implement it, the former council, as a minimum alternative, suggested pay increases, but they weren't limiting themselves to 2007.
Right.
They were going out to the years they were supposed to address, which is this year and next year.
And I think that reflected a political compromise on the part of the previous council, which is to say we really think as a policy matter we ought to, you know, get legislative pays up to a reasonable amount.
Right, but if you can't do that.
But if you can't do that because as Representative Adkins is indicating 33% seems like a big number, at a minimum you ought to give yourselves 3%.
Okay.
And I guess I would continue to support that.
Okay.
As the maker of the motion, and you know if it goes down, it goes down.
So your motion right now is
to track 1, 2, and 3A, basically.
Okay. And is that a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Wait, I'm sorry.
1, 2, and 3A.
Second. 1, 2.
Mr. Cummings.
Three. I need a chance to look at 3A. Sorry, I was focusing on.
And it contemplates that the dates would be changed to protect the innocent.
Adjust the salary of the governor of inflation since. So, are we talking real numbers here? Can you insert real numbers for me?
I think Mr. Hubinger.
Right,
I don't know if I can right now.
Let's see in 3A. Yes.
Oh, I don't know how to divide by 3.
The new number, 11, Mr. Chair, members, the salary that would. Be replacing the $137,869 would be replaced with $157,147.
33% of that is 53,000.
What did you say? It was 157. What, Greg?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, the salary of the governor, if adjusted by inflation to January of 2009, would be $157,147.
Hmm. and the new salary would be implemented. They were dealing with 11 in 3A. Aren't we talking about 11?
I think we can. Again, Mr. Chair, my recollection of that discussion was it reflected a compromise from the previous council that we said, whatever we're doing for the governor, let's have it after the next gubernatorial election. So, as much as the conversation took place earlier, you're not voting to increase. You can't be saying it's any individual. It's the office after the next election. So I think we could keep that date. It would be after the next election.
Okay. Further discussion? If not, any... All who support the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Now, what is it, Ms. Anderson, that you wanted to address in connection with agency heads?
It's hard to... As we're voting on these, if you know one affects the other, and it's like if 3A is passed, then it actually sets 2 at $53,000, and something we should have dealt with a per diem issue too. But I think the agency had, assuming 3 passes, then I think the ranges are set. If 3A doesn't pass, then you need to deal with 4, and I think it needs to be set at the level of local government. That doesn't mean that that's going to be the salary, though, because they're currently not even at that level. You're setting a maximum amount, and currently there's no one that's at the max. So they're all sort of built on each other, and so I would say A should be the range should remain the same if the if 3A is adopted, and if not, they should be set at the current level of local government employees, local government limits. That's where I'd set it.
Can you say that again?
I would say if 3A is adopted, or the simple thing is to just set the range at the level of local government, the current local government range. And again, that doesn't mean it's just simply a range that actually doesn't set the salaries.
Right now, the salaries are, 90, 95, 85, and 75.
25.
That's for the Met Council
and the
Metropolitan Airports Commission. So what is it you're suggesting, please, Ms. Anderson?
That they be set at the current level of the local government cap, which was 110, and then it was adjusted by inflation.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Edison, did you have a second number in mind for the 85% group that exists now? Want to just do 10% less, that same differential?
It's the same, probably the same differential.
Okay, so the Mr. Chair, then, would be 110% of the salary of the governor for agency heads in group one, and then 95%.
Yeah, I guess that's the way it's set.
Yes.
For group two? All right.
And then pick another number at the, this assumes that the governor's salary is not raised, because I think if the governor's salary is raised, that all of these numbers would have to be adjusted, including the local government ones.
But your proposal...
Well, you're not going to raise the local government cap way up if you raise the governor's salary. You're going to change that statute.
Well,
right?
If it's a percentage number, no. It's whatever we make the governor, everybody else keys off of, Mr. Chairman.
But I would recommend that you change... I mean, you're going to want to change that. It was only raised to 110 because the governor's salary hadn't been raised, and it was causing so many problems with compression. Mm-hmm. Those problems still exist in state government. Works.
Well,
would change that.
If our proposal on adjusting the governor's salary was to be accomplished, then the levels of the agency heads' maxes would appreciate significantly. Your proposal is based on the assumption that this doesn't happen, that the governor's salary remains the same where there's no adjustment.
Right.
So how would you craft a motion, please?
I guess I'd go at it from a different angle. I would say the agency head salary ranges should be set at the level of the local government current agency head salary ranges. If the governor's salary is raised, that the legislature should review that percent limit for all employees. In other words, you're going to want to drop the 110. You put it up there only because you were forced to, essentially, by outside. So you would drop that back to 90 or 80 or something like that, should that passes, which would be a keeping them about where they're at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
I guess I need a second if this is a motion.
I'll wait.
I'll second for discussion.
Okay.
Well, okay, Mr. Chairman, under discussion. This is what happens to us with the best of intentions when we keep interfering in what the marketplace is trying to demand. If this skill is actually in demand other places and it's driving the salaries, then we have to respond to that if we insist upon it. If we want to hold up the ideal of public service as something different, well, then, yes, we can cap these things till the cows come home. But what you get then is point number six, salary limits here on the recommendations, which we haven't dealt with yet. Previous group said we should repeal those limits. The legislature saw that and said, well, we won't repeal it. We'll just raise it up because we're still got the governor under this cap, and we recognize we needed county and city administrators to be paid more. So I think the cleanest thing to do would be to set maximum caps and let the marketplace work on it. Voters in my county certainly would be hollering and yelling at county commissioners if they paid an exorbitant fee to the county administrator. The same with our city administrator in the city. That, I think, is the ultimate payday check, or if I could say biannual employee review, is when we stand for election. The people we're hiring, we have to answer for it to the people who are paying their salaries. And if these are caps, we don't have to go that high, but I would suggest letting the ranges just float as they are right now because they're percentages, keying off the governor.
Any other observations, comments? If not, as many support to...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can see by the faces, everybody's contemplating, so I would just encourage us not to move too quickly to a vote here, because I think there may be more comments to be made to that. But pardon me for jumping in. I just want to throw out the drag chute for just a moment.
Okay.
Maybe I should speak to the cap. That's not what's on the table, but they're all related, and that's part of the problem. That's been a big question. I do support having a cap of a top because I think that county administrators, city administrators, they compare themselves to their peers within Minnesota typically, and so that becomes sort of a level, and I think there's logic in that. And if we don't, we've seen what we've gotten in some superintendent salaries, which have been outrageous in some cases because they're not under the cap, even though I think they should be. So I support a cap. Again, I think you need to treat, I would guess that the Shakopee city administrator and your county head make more money than all agency heads in the state of Minnesota.
I think they do.
And so, you need to be realistic. You are, I'm no longer in state government. These are the people you hire to run your state. These are not elected officials. They're your people. And if you can't get good quality people, not just an agency heads, you have four levels making the same amount. They're a penny apart. You supervise the people, they're a penny apart. And it's only getting worse each time, each year. It gets worse and worse. And so, you can do what you want, but you're dumbing down state government because of the way you've set up the rules, where you allow stuff in local government but not in state government. And you can't continue to go that route forever. So,
Previously, every time I think this has been brought up, the current administration says they have no problem getting people to serve as agency heads and... I think we went through this initially. Could we try this initially to try to establish a
a level of compensation for every single commissioner, and ultimately that was folded into this 95-85-25 concept in a fashion that whenever we've addressed it and asked the governor's office to weigh in, they said we're comfortable with the way it is.
Mr. Chair, I absolutely agree with Ms. Anderson about the dumbing down of government, but I don't know how much we can really influence that in this current political context. Mm-hmm. I mean, the public is just really, really cynical, and I would even say that I would augment your comments about dumbing down the people's government to dumbing down elected officials. To the extent that, I mean, really, we're in a political context where I think that people are really cynical about what we do, and people think that I respect Senator Corning tremendously, but I think that it is not true that people ought to so-called sacrifice for the honor of doing the work, because if that's all it is, then we elevate the work, whether that's in as heads of an agency. We elevate public service to the people who have the luxury of time and resources to do this as an extracurricular activity. And I think that one of the fundamental principles we need to come back to is that government is a critical element of how we function as a state. And that the value in that is from the, you know, quarter time person who picks up the recycling in my office all the way to our chief executive officer of our state, which is our governor. And I just think that we've been operating in political context where we've absolutely, the election certificate holders as well as the partisan politicians and the partisan mouthpieces out there, we have encouraged and aided and abated in the public. And we do it to ourselves by really politicizing this whole discussion. And we kind of have backed ourselves into a corner where we're willing to say, yes, we need to hire the best and the brightest to work in our agencies and to do the work of the service. But when it comes to the legislature and when it comes to election certificate holders, don't we also want to encourage the best and the brightest for people to be willing to make it part of their career track to say, I have something of value to contribute. I'm a CPA and I want to do this work because it's good for me. So I think that there's a broader, I mean, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, and I understand. And I think that for the 2 years that I've been on this council, I've been very supportive of recommendations that we've made, whether it's to the elected people or to agency heads or to local government, to say the only time when we can encourage the public to have some respect for what we do in terms of doing work for the government is when we do have an honest discussion about the salaries and about what we pay people. So I do support what you're trying to do here, and I think that, again, we come back to the compromise, Mr. Chair, that we always come back to, which is that the only way that we can compromise, though, is to tie it as a percentage to the governor. And if we have the courage to raise the governor's salary, then, and if the governor will recommend and the legislature will act to raise the governor's salary, then we all kind of float with it. And I think that was kind of the most palatable most palatable place to be. And I'm sensing that, again, this council is coming right back to that position.
Question, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Because the legislature has had no guts for so long on this issue, because the legislature really hasn't had the guts to do what it needs to do, and it's played all the games that it has, and we can, I think, anticipate, especially given the climate we're in now, that will continue and probably get worse, I need our elected officials to help me out in looking at these recommendations, because I think that the former council did a lot of very good work, you know, and they did a lot of detailed work. We kind of thought we might get away, Senator Kerrion, with the zero and walking out at our first meeting. Is this dead on arrival, though?
This year, I think it is. It's a question about next year.
I mean, I don't like spinning my wheels, and I love coming to the Capitol, but I need to be in the office this morning. Are we doing anything? I'd like to achieve something, which is why I think you've been quiet. you know, I really don't have a problem with tying it to the governor's, I suppose, if it gets the job done. I'm not sure that you could defend. I think this is dead on arrival because that would put you, you know, anywhere from $48,000 to $55,000 a year, approximately. That's why I think it's just dead on arrival, and it's just a recommendation then from some nice people who came in to do good work for the state.
What is
I mean, am I right?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman. Even though this is good work, and I think that you're worth it, I think you're worth every dime. I'm a conservative. I'm here as a maniacal fiscal conservative. That's why the governor appointed me. I came in to do zero work. That's my job. But I also think you're worth more than what you're getting paid. And I think the governor's worth a hell of a lot more than he's getting paid. So how do we get there? And it's not just some recommendation that gets ignored again. How do we serve it up so that the legislature can actually do something with this?
Mr. Chair, I think that's part of the reason.
I'll just defer to Mr. Stanek.
Okay, no. John.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's part of the reason, though, for the 3-3 alternative. I mean, we are making a statement that legislators are worth more, given the time away from home, time away from family, time away from their businesses, their jobs, their communities. They're worth more. And if that is too difficult of a pill to swallow, exactly, to get them to that 33%, we've got this alternative recommendations that says, by goodness, at least give yourselves 3% per year and start getting back on some type of regular inflationary increase that can hopefully depoliticize the issue. So,
what I like about this council, as I go around the table, is that this is a very strong bipartisan message. This isn't the governor's Republicans coming in, or the or the Democrats doing. It's we all are in agreement. We all come from very different places politically. I know Pat and I are known as hatchet ladies financially with taxes. I mean, she and I are going to have to walk out of here and defend this to a lot of people.
Aren't you comfortable, though, defending this?
Yeah. I mean, that's what's marvelous
whether or not
about
the legislature
but at the same time, it's got to be dead on arrival, right?
At some point, the legislature is going to wake up and recognize that after 10, 15 years of nothing, we've got to face reality. I'm missing something. I'm sorry.
That's our whole purpose for our existence, is to make the statements and the recommendations that the legislature isn't at liberty to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to be strong in our recommendation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't vote for a no increase this year. These legislators need an increase. Last cycle, Governor Pawlenty had to strike a $11 million gorilla cage. Well, I think our legislators are more important than apes. And
thank you.
It's time we did something about that. That's why we're here.
Are you comfortable with what we've done?
Pardon me?
Are you comfortable with what we've now done despite your reluctance on the zero?
Yes.
Okay, good.
What have we done? Can we have a recap of what we've passed on this?
Well, first, do you have a motion prevailing, or did you withdraw that, or what?
No, I didn't. No, that'll be a motion. Do people remember what it was? Okay. Did I have a second on that?
Yes, your colleague to the left seconded, I think, for the purpose of the discussion. Yes.
Okay.
Many of us will support the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Well, we better get a raise of hands, please.
Yeah.
Motion again, please.
We need to restate it.
You want to restate it, please?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Anderson, as I understand it, it's a two-part motion dealing with agency heads. If the governor's salary, and I'll reorder this when we get to writing the recommendation, but if the governor's salary does not change as a result of our recommendations, then the agency head salary limit for Group 1 would be 110% of the salary of the governor, Group 2 would be 100%, and Group 3 would be 35%. Part 2 of the motion is that if the governor's salary is adjusted by the legislature as a result of our recommendations, then we recommend that the legislature review the ranges for agency heads and local governments.
Yeah.
All right. As many support the motion, please raise your hand.
Prevail.
That takes care of it. It's unanimous.
No, I didn't raise my
one.
Hand.
Just leaning back.
I'm not that tall, Mr. Chair.
I did not. I want the record
to show that I did not raise my hand.
All right. Opposed, sir?
It's actually lower than.
Okay. Got it, Sally? All right. Okay, we've taken care of that. I have one now that might be in the range of facetious, but let me at least, somebody brought it to my attention. I thought it was kind of, oh, let me read it. Since the 1997 legislative session, there have been 9 special sessions. What's this?
Can we expense our parking tickets?
Can we do what?
Working to expense our parking tickets.
Oh, just the state of Minnesota appreciates your contribution.
Give him to the Senate.
Yeah.
It's an asterisk here somewhere.
Okay, I think I got the idea, and I'm in support of that. But let me, since the 1997 legislative session, there have been 9 special sessions of the legislature where the legislature has had to meet for additional days to complete their work. A standard practice in the private sector is to provide incentives for organizations to complete their work in a timely manner. Recommendations. The Council recommends that the legislature pass legislation that would provide an incentive for them to complete their work before the constitutionally determined date of adjournment. The Council recommends that the incentive be set at a rate of $200 per day per member for each day they have adjourned prior to the constitutionally determined date. Huh?
They're going to be liquidated damages for all.
Yeah, right.
There would be motion. Mr. Chair, I have a request. Could you please provide us with an update to the recommendations 1, 2, 3A and final wording to 4 as soon as possible?
Okay. If there's no further business here.
I already took them out.
Excuse me, Chair. Could I, one comment, talking to Ms. Anderson here. Apparently, superintendents of schools used to be in this mix, and I'm a school board member, and I truly see that superintendent salaries are they're escalating at an incredible rate. And I guess I'm just a discussion. We do have legislators here. That would help out school districts because what we're up against is it's the prevailing rate. Well, every time the person down the street gets a raise, the prevailing rate goes up. And our administrators are all tied to our superintendent's schedule. And so if there could be something in there that would put some restraints in place through legislative action. Apparently, superintendents used to be within this mix of agency heads, and it was removed for some reason.
Arnie did it.
I'm just putting that out there as a discussion topic.
I believe it was out-of-state administrators. That's they're competing with out-of-state people, and that's why.
That was their argument.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
All right. Ms. Crockett suggests that our findings now be incorporated writing and each of us be advised what we've done, and if anybody has serious conflict with the way the verbiage comes out, so advise, and hopefully that can be modified in a way that is understood and we're all on board. But if anybody has some extraordinarily difficult time with it, the Cuban juror will inform me and then we'll decide how we modify.
And Mr. Chair, while we're all here, before we adjourn, I just think that on the constitutional amendment provision that we passed, I think the word scheme showed up in the findings too, so we should clean up scheme throughout. And I think we might have taken one of the findings to have the judiciary. It should just be both. I think that was an intent of the group. Just wanted
the
to
first
make that
one was to be removed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and thank you to Mr. Hubinger for his work. He always keeps us right on track.
Great. All right. Is there any further business before this group? If not, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.